Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, your host, founder, and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring you a very special guest. His name is Jeff Cohen, and he's Amazon Ads Tech Evangelist when it comes to everything ads related. He's the master when it comes to that. And I'm very proud to have him on board because I've been following his content for a long time. We actually met at Prosper. We tried to do an episode there, but we had some technicalities. And the reason why I wanted to bring Jeff today to the podcast is because everything related to video on Amazon is changing. Amazon releasing so many cool tools when it comes to video. And Jeff is going to give you a glimpse about what are some of those things that are coming to the Amazon space and how you can leverage that as an Amazon seller. So, Jeff, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Let's do this again.
Let's do it. I think the mic is checking.
We tried to do it live at Prosper. It didn't work out so well, but we'll still get great content for everybody here.
Of course. I think the mics now are recording, so we're ready to go. Awesome, Jeff. So if you want, just give us a little bit of an introduction about yourself and, you know, what is your role at Amazon? Then we can jump into the topic. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. My name is Jeff Cohen. I am a tech evangelist for Amazon Ads. I've been with the Amazon Ads group for about 2.5 years. Prior to joining Amazon Ads, I ran a software company with the founders, Brandon Checkitz, called Seller Labs, where I was in charge of product marketing and business development for the birth and growth of that product. And I was there for about 8 years. And prior to that, I dabbled with selling in different ways on Amazon, dating back to 2005 when I started in the textbook space. So today I work with Amazon Ads partners, such as companies like yours, helping them understand Amazon Ads technology, helping to take feedback from the market, from our advertisers, from our sellers, and bring that back for our product managers. And, you know, just trying to kind of demystify some of the things that maybe are not so well understood within our community.
Love it. Yeah, I think, and you're doing an amazing job, but every single time I see you do a post on LinkedIn, like, oh my God, the engagement, people really commenting and really learning from you. So definitely doing a great job when it comes to educating, you know, the Amazon community. Now, let's jump into the topic, which is video. Amazon is really going hard when it comes to video. You guys are doing an amazing job to providing, you know, more placements so brands can really do something different when it comes to strategy. And I think I want to start with the current landscape when it comes to video because, you know, so many things are being released lately. So let's start with what is the current landscape when it comes to video and advertisement on Amazon?
Yeah, I want to, you made one statement earlier that I want to correct. You said that a lot is changing with video and mm-hmm. I want to kind of realter that word changing to say a lot is evolving with video because I don't think that a lot is actually changing. I just think that there's a lot of features, functionality that we've probably had for a while, but we didn't necessarily fully understand how to utilize it. And today we have a better understanding of how to utilize it. And with the availability of AI, things that before were very difficult, expensive, or time-consuming can now be done in a very quick manner. Yep. And, you know, I think that video is a very important tool across your whole Amazon, brand portfolio, however you want to kind of describe it. So whether we're talking about telling stories on your product detail page, giving more detail within your A+ content, sharing information about your brand and how your brand and what your brand values are within your store. Those are all important components of video. They're not new, but there's new ways that you can do that. And then there are expanded opportunities through sponsored brand video ads, or even video posts that are now allowing us to start to bring this content that we've been using in other places into our advertising, giving us the chance to really expand in an engaging way. And that's the whole thing that video brings, that that still images don't, right? So a video is an awesome opportunity to educate your audience, to inform a new audience, and to give people more rich information about your product in a digestible manner that fits very nicely on their phone. And that's where a lot of people are doing their discovery and doing their shopping, as well as it plays nicely into, you know, into the desktop experience as well. And so, you know, we've been talking about video being important for a number of years.
I know.
It's only more important today, right? It's only more important today because that's how we as humans want to digest content and understand what's happening. And, you know, personally, I'm a very visual learner. So if I see that, I can make that connection a lot quicker as to what the value is and whether it connects to me as a consumer.
Yes, it's super important because when we're shopping online, let's be honest, you cannot really touch the product or have an experience like you may have in a store. And that video really, you know, make the gap smaller between, you know, what is the emotional connection you can convey between your brand and the consumer and how they can feel by actually purchasing and having those benefits in their life by buying your product in the first place. And I guess my second question to this is like sometimes people, they definitely want to do video, but they struggle to identify what are some of the elements that will make a video successful, right? In terms of really creating that connection with the consumer so they can choose your product over your competition. So I'm sure by now you have identified some of these elements high level. And it would be great to know from your experience, like what are some of those things that a video must have to really create that connection as you've been describing so far?
Yeah. So again, like if you're trying to create video for like your product detail page or a sponsor brand video, that's totally different than if you're trying to create video for like a Prime Video ad, right? So how you do like streaming TV advertising is a different level of storytelling than maybe what you're getting started with when you're talking about using sponsor brand video or doing something within your post. It all comes back to working backwards from your customer. So you have to understand who your ICP or your ideal customer profile is. That's going to allow you to understand what language they want to be spoken to. It's going to allow them to it's going to allow you to understand what benefits are most important to them. And I'll give you an example. If your product is really geared towards like a Gen Z, then you want to talk about sustainability, your company mission. You want to talk, you know, maybe in a little bit more like emoji type of, you know, conversation language I don't understand. If you're going for more of like a baby boomer, then it's a totally different type of message than you want to give. And so there's no cookie cutter approach to the building the most successful video. What I recommend is two things. One, just do it. Just make a video, right? Like you've got to get started with something. Your iPhone or whatever type of phone you have is a great device to shoot your initial video. If you don't have video capabilities, you can use the Video Builder, which is a free tool within Amazon Ads. And you can take still photos and just have like feature benefits that are kind of coming through. Now, once you kind of have like your base video done, then you can start to see through some of your metrics how your videos are performing. And so if people are watching your videos and they're only watching 10 seconds into your video and they're dropping off, then your content isn't engaging with the right customer. And you need to think about where your messaging is off. Now, on the flip side of that, if they're going 45 seconds into your 1 minute video, but then they're not clicking, then maybe there's something that's missing from like a call to action or something like that. So your metrics start to kind of tell the story of what's happening, how it's engaging with the audience, and what's being pulled in. So the number one piece of advice that I give everybody, just do it, right? Like Nike had it easy and simple, right? Just do it. You got to start with something. And if you get into this analysis paralysis of like, which product do I start with? Or I don't have the right equipment and I can't do a proper shoot and I don't hire models. None of that's necessary when you're getting started. Now, as you start to build over time, and as video is starting to prove itself out to you and to your brand and to your success, then you start to make additional investments. Mm-hmm. And there are ways to start integrating in higher quality videos. And you want to do those maybe for like your hero products, right? That have the higher volume of sales. And that's when you maybe want to engage with like a video company that, you know, can start to produce a video for you. You're going to be looking somewhere in the $10,000 to $20,000 range.
Yeah,
when you then get to the next level and you're looking to get into like television production type of videos, well, I mean, budgets for there start at $50,000 and can go, you know, can go up. Depends on, you know, are you bringing in personalities or who's writing your script? You know, are you on site? All these other things that you can do. But the important thing for this is that video is in reach for everybody in some way, shape, or form. And there are ways to connect with your audience using videos in some way, shape, or form. You just have to kind of get started to try.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned something there that, I mean, to just do it, I think it's a great advice because every single time we do audits as well, we identify that, I mean, huge brands, they are not leveraging video. And it's crazy because, as you say, Amazon is giving you those tools that you can use, you know, AI and automatically generate some of this video with the assets. And it's like a no-brainer. Like, you definitely have everything at your disposal. And I like the fact that you also make emphasis that you have to tailor the video depending on the placement. Because I guess, of course, super important. If you're trying to do a video for ads, you're going to use the same video for listings. And this, that brings me to my next question, which is, you know, where within Amazon right now we can utilize video? Because right now there are multiple placements, like we can do on listings, we can do in ads. But high level, can you touch some of those points so people listening and watching this, they can understand, okay, I didn't know actually you could do a videos on those locations when it comes to Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the I think where probably a lot of brands are starting to kind of get they're maybe surprised by what you can do is what you can do within like sponsored brand video, sponsored brand, you know, headline ads using video. I think that's the one that's probably most surprising. I don't think, you know, sponsored brand videos in general, sponsored brand ads in general are around people who are a little higher in the funnel. So they're not at the straight conversion level, but you're looking for people who are maybe in category for products like yours. And so they're looking to understand what your product is. And that's a great way to use it. There's two things I suggest. One is just go on Amazon and do some searches. See what other people in your category and what your competitors are doing to get a better understanding of what your individual competitive landscape looks like, right? Because that's going to be different for every product and every category, whether you're talking about nutraceuticals or whether you're talking about like, you know, gnomes for your lawn, right? Videos are going to be used in a different way.
Yeah.
The other is that a lot of people say, but I don't have any video assets. But are you running anything on social media? Are you doing anything with influencers? Is there ways that you can bring in other user-generated content that's being created about your brand into different elements of Amazon? And are there ways to kind of pull that into either your free video placements, like putting it into your store? I've seen people do like as seen on TikTok in their store, and they have a whole bunch of different videos that come from TikTok videos that kind of make that connection of what's happening out in the non-Amazon world with what's happening in the Amazon world. Use others to inspire you, right? I am not a creative person. It's not my strong suit whatsoever, but I can spot creativity. And if I can spot creativity and I can say, okay, great. So how does that apply to my brand? There may be a way to do something similar to that, to make it play. But again, you got to make sure you understand who the ideal customer profile is. You got to make sure you're speaking to them. So you can't just take something that, you know, somebody's doing and just apply it without putting that additional lens to it.
Of course. Now, if all the people watching this and listening, if they have to choose a place to start when it comes to video, because we've been talking, there are many really locations you can start with. What would you say from your experience, it would probably the most increment in terms of at least exposure? I know this is difficult to measure and it's going to vary from brand to brand, but what is like the must have in terms of video if they have nothing to do with video at all? Like what is the first part?
I mean, the bar none, if you've got no video whatsoever, the first video you need to have is on your product detail page, right? So up at the top, you're going to have a number of images related to your product, and then you'll also have a video. So that will be that's the highest exposure potential, right? Then your A plus content or your store homepage probably sits at number two for me. Your story that you tell in those two locations is slightly different. On your product one, you want that video to be very product focused. You want people to understand, what is the product? How do I use it? What are the benefits to me as a user? On your A plus content or on your store page, you can have a product level video. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's also your ability to tell your brand story. What's the value of your brand? What do you stand for? Why would people want to do business with you? So you can tell that slightly different story within that. I would definitely start to experiment with those free locations first before I go into advertising. I always say that like advertising is great, but advertising is about pouring gasoline onto a fire, right? It's advertising is not how you start the fire.
Exactly.
So once you've kind of got that momentum behind what you're doing and you kind of see how the video is working for you and what's working and what's not, then you can start to test video and put a small budget to it, right? You don't need to put a huge budget, but you can put a small budget to it and you can start to run sponsor brand video ads or sponsor brand headline ads with video. And you can start to kind of test different creative to kind of see what's happening and how it's impacting your business. Then as you know, again, you're not going to see a direct conversion like you would with like a sponsored products ad. So you need to keep that in mind. But as you're starting to see video that's driving more traffic to your site and you're starting to see or to your product detail page, and your product detail page or your store is starting to get more and more traffic and its conversion rate is maintaining the same, you're building the audience that's interested in your product. And that would be the indication that you want to invest more into sponsored brand video or into video in general. The last thing you want to do is expect that your video ads are going to perform like a sponsored product ad is, right? So you need to set that correct expectation from the beginning.
Awesome. Now, I want to start moving the conversation to another very interesting topic, which is Amazon Marketing Cloud. So this is something that, you know, people have been talking a lot lately. Like, when you jump on LinkedIn, everybody's talking about that and what they can do with this new access to data from Amazon. And I would like to, first of all, hear the definition from you, that I'm pretty sure you have a ton of experience when it comes to that for all the listeners. And then let's try to dive in a little bit into the topic of how Amazon sellers could leverage Amazon Marketing Cloud.
Yeah, so today, Amazon Marketing Cloud is a tool that you have to be using Amazon DSP to get access to. With that, I caveat and I tell people that that's how it acts today, but every seller should start to understand what it is and how it can potentially impact their business. Now, what Amazon Marketing Cloud is it's a privacy-safe clean room. And so what we have going on in this in today's market with like cookies being deprecated is that companies like Amazon and other retail media networks needed to create a way to take the signals of advertising and to drive them back into a measurable format to tell people how their ads are performing. And so what Amazon Marketing Cloud does is it aggregates your data across all the actions that are happening within your brand. And then once you hit a threshold of aggregated data, it can start to give you insights into your customer journey, your customer demographics, and getting an understanding of kind of what's happening and when it happens, and then what you can do about it. And so I like to say that Amazon Marketing Cloud is like this really powerful measurement insight tool. And then your job as a marketer is to take those insights and drive them into marketing actions that you want to take. So with Marketing Cloud or Amazon Marketing Cloud, you can start to get a sense of what we call the path to purchase or the buyer journey. Mm-hmm. And you can start to see in today's, without Marketing Cloud, if you run an ad and the ad creates a conversion, that means the ad was the last touch before the conversion occurred. Mm-hmm. But what you don't know is how many other ads they saw mm-hmm. along the way. And so you automatically start to over account for, you start to over account for ads that are last touch, and you potentially under account for the ads that have a place within the journey. And so Amazon Marketing Cloud allows you to see that, hey, when I run sponsored products alone, my conversion is X. But when I run sponsored products, sponsored brand, and sponsored display, my conversion is Y. And then you start to understand that when you can, when a customer has a frequency of two sponsored product ads, one sponsored display, and one sponsored brand ad, their conversion is 2X better than when mm-hmm. they only have that one sponsored brand ad or whatever that number comes out. You can now have a better understanding of where you want to make your investments. So that's kind of like the simplistic of like path to purchase and understanding like frequency, which allows you to dial in different controls within the ADSP or the demand side platform application.
Yeah. Super important, because at the end of the day, marketing is all about touch points, right? And if you don't really understand where the touch points are happening, you don't really know where you can put the leverage in terms of budget and, you know, put more focus when it comes to advertisement. So that's why I think like for huge brands that are really having, as you mentioned, multiple ads across the board, if you don't have something like Amazon Marketing Cloud, it reaches a point that you're kind of guessing. So it's a must. 100%.
Yeah. And it even goes a step further, right? So the first step is that ability to kind of start to see the path to purchase and the different journeys that are occurring. But the next step beyond that is the ability to say, these customers that follow this potential profile and have these in-market attributes tend to have a higher subscribe and save than these other potential clients. Well, once I understand that, when I understand what the in-market attributes are that will drive a higher subscribe and save or a higher repeat purchase, or maybe a higher new-to-brand purchase, meaning that more new customers are coming in from that particular cohort, I now know what type of cohort I want to go out and market to. And then I can create what's called lookalike audiences to say, find other people that match this persona, and let's market to them based on the frequencies of what I've seen work to drive in the actions that I want. So advertisers have different actions that they desire. At times you want to expand your brand to new customers. So you're looking for new to brand type of metrics. At times you want to increase your subscribe and saves or your repeat purchases. Those are different types of actions that will require different types of campaigns and may have different types of customer cohorts. And AMC really lets you dive into that level of aggregated detail to understand how those personas are building and what that optimal point looks like.
Good. Now, I'm sure for all the ones listening and watching, they might be wondering, like, when is AMC the right tool for me in terms of jumping to implement it for my business? Because it seems from the conversation we're having, if you don't have enough data, you can't really leverage the technology, because then you don't have enough data assets to really make a sample that is significant. So from your experience, like, what is usually the right stage to bring AMC to the equation as a seller?
I don't know the exact answer for that, but I have not met a seller who uses AMC and doesn't find value out of it. Nice. So I think the value may be different for different brands at different stages and different investment levels. But if you're using Amazon Ads portfolio of advertising products, and one of those is the ADSP, then AMC is going to give you insights into your business that are going to help you make better decisions.
Awesome. Now, we also been talking about, of course, previously to AMC video, and I'm wondering, what are some of the scenarios where these two things can be combined, because I'm sure, like, as you start running video campaigns with sponsored brands and so on, like, you can get some insights that you can then leverage on MC. So what are some case scenario from your experience, like, you can share with us where both things are combined and can be basically scaling your business? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, like, there are a bunch of different metrics. I probably should figure out what the number is.
There's a ton. I know.
I can put the link to it. I can share the link to it within our documentation that shows you all the different types of metrics that you get. I think that the metrics that get the most play in the media, if you will, is like ACOS, ROAS, tacos. But there are so many different metrics that are out there. And again, like, understanding the action that you're looking for a potential shopper or a repeat shopper to take, or the place that you're looking to invest in the growing of the potential shoppers that you're marketing yourself towards, would indicate what metrics you want to be looking at. And so sellers or brands who are strictly running their campaigns on ACOS, tacos, and ROAS are limiting themselves, right? This was my whole presentation at the Prosper Show. They're limiting themselves for a number of reasons. And the biggest reason is that the other metrics provide signals to the growth of your market, the growth of your potential shoppers, and the potential growth of your brand. And so again, when you go to set a campaign, you want to understand what the goals of that campaign are. And every campaign should not have a ROAS goal.
Yeah.
And what I like to say is, like, ROAS is a really good directional signal, right? But knowing, like, incrementally what a 3.2 versus a 3.4 ROAS is, nobody's really 100% sure. What they know is that 3.4 is better than 3.2 because the return on ad spend is greater. So you can use that to understand where different ad campaigns and how they're performing kind of against one another.
Yep.
But if you're trying to increase the potential pool of customers, like, maybe you're leading into a tentpole event, right? We always talk about Prime Day as being a tentpole event, but remember that a tentpole event can really be any type of large, promotional activity that your brand is doing. So your tentpole event might be Easter, it might be Mother's Day, it might be Father's Day, it might be back to school. Mm-hmm. But leading up into that event, you want to create audiences, and you want to kind of prime those audiences to know who your brand is and what your brand stands for. But those people may not be ready to buy. So you may specifically be kind of running campaigns in that lead up time period with the desire of just increasing exposure of your brand. And then during the actual tentpole event, you can come back in with ADSP and you can start to remarket to those people during that tentpole event, where you would then be looking for more of the driver of how am I driving them from where they were to a conversion. And then at that lead out period, that's where you're reminding them of who your brand is and maybe other products that you have available. So again, depending on where your customer is within their journey and where your brand is in terms of its promotional period, and, you know, would start to dictate the types of metrics that you want to be measuring and how you want to use those measurements for success. And so when you're running, like, a brand awareness campaign, or you're looking for more people who are in category for your product, looking at video views and length of video views will start to give you an indication that people are interested in your product. Then you can see within the path to journey how many people who are interested in your product ultimately lead to a purchase of your product, and how many of those are new to your brand versus how many of those are repeat purchases. So that's how you can kind of start to ladder some of these different data signals and some of these different metrics on top of each other to get a better understanding and picture of how your advertising and promotions are doing.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, this is branding 101. I think some of the things that Amazon sellers have struggled is that they got used only to the bottom of the funnel when it comes to strategy. And now that we have more strategies and tools that are from top of the funnel to bottom of the funnel, like, you know, they're trying to adapt and understand all these things in terms of how to integrate within the brand. And I think AMC is perfect for that because it's going to allow you to create basically the avatar. What is the actual consumer that's going to be buying your product? And if you are very clear with all the touch points, as you say, going from awareness to actually conversion, those are going to be the brands that are really going to succeed. Because, I mean, it's all about that, creating that familiarity, and the familiarity goes and allow the customer to trust you and make a purchase.
Yeah, I mean, having ads that are attempting to convert shoppers to your brand based on shopping signals are great. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. There's millions of shoppers on Amazon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Amazon also has billions of other signals.
Exactly.
And so that's the ability. Here's the kind of the way that I described it, right? If you're only focused on like conversion, that's like walking into a toy store and saying, I'm going to buy my kid a Jenga, you know, block set. But if I walk in, and that's really easy for everybody to understand because that's a conversion-based focus. Mm-hmm. But if I walk into that same store and I don't know that I want to buy a Jenga set, all I know is that I want to buy a toy for my 13 to 15 year old.
But you must people. Exactly.
Right. Now I'm in category, right? I know I want a toy, and I'm going to go into the store and I'm going to walk around the toy section. And when I look at the wall of it, maybe I even want a game. Well, let's just go even more specific to a game. Yeah. When I go to that game wall, I'm going to look at the wall of games and I'm going to say, okay, great. What do I want? Okay, Jenga. I know that brand. Let's get them Jenga. But there's also shoppers who are shopping at that store who walked in for a 13-year-old's birthday party. And they're actually shopping in other places within the store because they need to buy paper plates and paper cups and plastic forks and plastic knives, or we'll go bamboo so we're more sustainable. Yeah. But they walk by the toy section and there's an end cap at the toy section and there's Jenga, and they think to themselves, oh, this would be really fun for the kids to play at the birthday party.
Exactly. Yeah.
So all of those people are potential shoppers or potential buyers of your brand. And if you're only focused on that conversion focused activity, you're really down funnel in the audience, and you're limiting the potential of the number of sales that you can generate for your brand. And so larger brands that are investing more are creating that bigger funnel. That's how that funnel gets wider at the top. Because they're going after more people who are also in category or in market potentially for their product to create that awareness and drive them to potentially make that purchase.
Awesome. Now, to start concluding, I guess another thing I would like to get from you is, like, I'm sure, like, by working on all these amazing projects, you also have huge insight about what is coming in terms of the future for video, and also, you know, data analytics, which is AMC. So to start concluding the episode, what are some of these future trends that you're starting to identify when it comes to e-commerce and Amazon in general strongly believe?
I'm going to look into my crystal ball.
That you strongly believe in 2024, like, sellers need to start really put an eye into that. If not, they're going to struggle.
Yeah. I'm looking into my crystal ball. Let's see what it says.
Let's do it together.
I think that what's cool, what's exciting for sellers is that there are more data signals and there are better measurement today than there were a year or 2 years or 5 years ago. We have a better understanding of how our ads and how our efforts are performing and where we want to make investments. Yeah. I think that will get better. Right. Like there's, like I said at the beginning of this episode, this is about evolutions, not revolutions. Mm-hmm. Right. Advertising is not a revolutionary game. It's an evolutionary game. Right. So everyone wants to know, oh, AI, what's happening with AI? AI is a cornerstone of the DNA of everything we do at Amazon Ads. You're I don't think you'll see this like revolutionary, game-changing AI technology come out of ads, because that's not the problem we're trying to solve, right? You as advertisers have problems. You want advertising to be more efficient, more effective. You need creative that's more scalable, that's more cost effective. We want to use technology. We want to use measurement. We want to use AI to continue to improve on those systems and processes to make them better for you as advertisers.
Yeah,
the whole circle, the whole flywheel, if you will, works a lot better when advertisers are getting the results that they desire. And that's why you'll also notice within, you know, the conversation that I talked about today is that there's a right time and a right place to make these investments. And I think that's one of the challenges is that everybody wants to be told, when do I make the investment? Exactly. How much do I make? And how much am I going to get? We don't know. And so what you need to do is you need to have this test and learn mentality where you're trying things that are new and you're seeing how they impact your business. But at the same time, you're going back and you're looking at things that maybe you tried a year or 2 years ago that didn't work to see how they work today. Because as your brand evolves and as the ad technology evolves, the way that you use all of that together is going to evolve. And so maybe you tried sponsored display 2 years ago and it didn't work for you, but you shouldn't just like sign off.
Set and forget. Exactly.
Right. Because I'll tell you, a great example of this is like Amazon Post. People who have invested in Amazon Post over the last 3 or 4 years are super happy with the return on the investment they're getting today. But it's been a very slow, methodical evolution over time as Post have become more and more valuable in driving followers and driving brand discovery and getting more metrics to understand the impact. And now all of a sudden, people who have been investing in Post are like, wow, this investment really was worthwhile. I'm glad that I did it. They took a little bit of a leap of faith when all those dots weren't connected at the beginning. Yeah. But over time, things got better. So I think that's to say that like the future is that everything's evolving and changing, and some things won't exist in the future because they're not working and new things will come. But you as a brand need to develop this mental model around how do you test? How do you learn? How do you implement? How do you iterate? Those are the functions, right, that allow you to grow as a brand that will never change.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, it's been a pleasure to have you. I mean, everything you shared today is gold. So I'm sure all the sellers listening to this are going to learn so much from you. And I'm sure a few of them also want to reach out to you. So tell us a little bit about how people can get in contact in case they have some questions about video, AMC, or ads in general. So yeah, how they can
The best way to reach out to me is on LinkedIn. If you type in Jeff Cohen Amazon, I come up. If you type in Jeff Amazon, I'm under some other guy that just
you're gonna find him for sure.
But I, you know, please reach out. Let me know. Let me know something that hit you from this podcast that you think you want to implement in your business. I'd love to hear your feedback and hear how these things are working for you and your brands.
Thank you, Jeff. So it's a pleasure. Looking forward to having the next one. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
See you. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.